Welcome back to the Avery Adventures podcast. I want to take a little time to thank everybody for leaving feedback. And truthfully, it's not always good feedback, but we need the feedback. We can't get better without it. If you like it, tell us. If you don't, tell us. If you go to iTunes and leave us feedback, that's probably the best way to help us grow. And Avery Adventures is now powered by Mountain Ops. You can get 20% off at checkout using the code FATKID, and we'd appreciate that. Today on the show, we have Colton Gibbons. Colton Gibbons is a hunter and guide from Idaho. He's a young man, but he has a world of knowledge on hunting, whether it's elk, deer, shed hunting, horses, just general knowledge on hunting. I wanted to get him on the show. This is what type of guy I wanted to get on the podcast because he's just very, really knowledgeable. And the other guy is Travis Bertrand. If you follow Rockslide, you know Travis. He's a DIY hunter out of Nevada that seems to get it done year in and year out in multiple animals in multiple states. And then he makes his little wife pack out the animals. So I hope you enjoy the show. Welcome to the Avery Adventures podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Avery.
And I'm Tanya Avery.
We're at the Western Hunting Expo in Salt Lake City. We're using Gritty Bowman's setup, so Gritty Bowman, I appreciate us letting us use your setup because we don't want to set ours up. But today on our show, we're lazy.
And the couch is comfortable. Yeah.
And the couch is very comfortable. We're in the infamous Mountain Ops booth. It's the biggest booth at the expo.
The best one, for sure.
It is, and today we have Travis Bertrand, if you know Dr. Horsepower, Travis Bertrand from Rockslide.com, and we also have Colton Gibbons. If you don't know Colton Gibbons, you should.
Crawl out from underneath the rock you've been living under.
Yep. He's a guide for, Hell's Canyon?
Hell's Canyon Outfitters and for Locky U Outfitters, a guide in multiple areas.
Right, and he's done a lot of hunting in Idaho. He shot a 340 bull, what'd you say, at 8 yards?
8 feet. Actually, eight feet. It was just under 3 yards. So
8 feet. And they do some of the hunting in Idaho, in the northern part, in some of the nastiest terrain on the face of the earth. If you listen to Gritty Bowman and Aaron talk about it when they came up bow hunting with me, it's a shithole.
It's gnarly. It's definitely tough area.
Very tough area. So you are an outfitter for Hell's Canyon. You said, Joel, you just went through the whole spiel.
Yep.
So basically, you take guys that pay you money, fat guys hunting.
Yeah. Similar to Ryan, but with a little more. No.
Similar to Ryan, but people with money.
Yeah, with people with money.
Yeah, exactly. Money. Exactly.
What caveat.
Yeah.
Yeah, per se. Like
halfway there, buddy.
Yeah. No, Ryan's a good hunter. Actually, I think you and I, we met moose hunting. That's exactly where we met.
We were looking for the same, I think, moose.
Yep.
And they were a little nasty snow.
Yep.
I rode up a four-wheeler up a trail, stopped because of the snow, and all of a sudden, two guys came just roaring up the hill and blasted right by us, and it was you and Justin Webb.
Yep, that's correct.
Would that be the same hunting season you were gone 42 days?
Yes, it, yeah.
Just
42
checking.
Days total, almost got a divorce.
Good times, yeah.
So you own your brother, and you run a company called mm-hmm. Limitless Outdoors.
Yep.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So we're a videography company that we share our experiences all over the world. We're hunting in multiple areas. We have a few different guys bringing in footage for us. We've hunted in New Zealand, all over Idaho, Wyoming, Montana, multiple places, Alaska. We've done quite a bit in Alaska. Just two brothers that really love hunting and get after it.
So. What's your favorite animal to hunt in, say, Idaho?
Oh, elk, by far. Elk, yeah. My entire life, the very first elk I ever called in, I was 11 years old for my brother, and it was 320 class bull, and ever since that moment, I've been hooked on it. The adrenaline rush, a screaming bull, there's nothing like it. When they're in your face, and you're talking to them, communicating with them, it's a hard feeling to beat, and it's outsmarting them is the biggest thing, so...
And where we live, we're lucky enough to have whitetail and mule deer. What is your favorite species on that?
Those, definitely mule deer. The challenge, as you know, we've been dealing with a November tag, so all the way up north there, and hunting mule deer, chasing them after them in 2-3 feet of snow. It's hard to beat. And I love their character and everything else. They just they really push your boundaries and make you work for them. So.
It also seems like you're pretty big on the shed hunting side.
I do a little bit of it.
I know.
I have a few.
I keep seeing these pictures of you with your shirt off shed hunting.
Yeah, that has happened a few times. It gets a little hot when you're loaded up with some horns and climbing up 3,000 vertical feet.
You ever thought of doing a calendar?
You know, actually, what's funny is that my buddy and I, he guides with me, Will. We were just talking about that today. We're thinking about doing a guide calendar with our shirts off, holding up trophies.
Right
elk.
Here on this bear rug.
Yeah, just bear rug, you name it.
Oh, no.
I just about laid my bear out that I have at the booth and got out in the middle of the aisle.
What were you
tried stopping
for?
Some people. Well, you know, it might not be acceptable here.
It's a family establishment.
Well, yeah, exactly. So
most all of my Instagram feed is hunting feed. So
yep.
Every time I scroll through it, it's an oddity to see a dude with his shirt off. It's either Colton or Brock Akers. It's either one of those two.
The Colton Conrad.
Yeah, Colton Conrad have their shirt off. You're like, whoa, you don't see that every day on relatively all hunting-based stuff. So Travis Bertrand, you've hunted pretty much everything in North America, haven't you?
No, one day.
I should say not everything, but as far as elk, deer, muzzleloader, bow, rifle.
Yeah.
You're a man of many extremes.
I'm an opportunist.
What is your... Travis is out of Nevada, so he has a pretty good broad or wide variety of animals to hunt.
Yeah, we got quite a few species.
And I always say this about Travis. Travis is the most unassuming guy that kills big shit every year that I've ever met. Well, how big was your deer you shot in Colorado this year?
It was high 180s, something like that.
Velvet bow?
Yep.
How big was the elk you packed out with your wife?
Which
how
one?
How big was the elk she packed out? Let's be honest.
It was 380 class bull.
380?
Yeah.
So tell the story. Gosh. His wife is a little woman.
Yep. 110 soaking wet, maybe.
How much weight did she pack out of that bull?
Well, I don't know. We did three trips.
Oh, man.
7 miles each way. And she packed as much as she could, you know, a sack full of meat, probably, I don't know, 60 pounds each trip, you know, on top of camp. It was fun times.
It's pretty amazing if you know Andrea. She is.
And she did that with a old school REI woman's pack. After that trip, it was going to see Aaron Snyder, Kufaru.
So you let her go through the misery of packing out with a bad one.
Yeah, I mean,
you have
we
to
all
start
had to do
out
it once.
Exactly.
It's
yeah,
see,
yeah.
That way she could appreciate a good pack.
Yeah, it's initiation.
Yeah, now she knows what she's missing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So it makes total sense.
Yeah. And she has a couple of lifelong injuries from it. Good job.
She
that
cannot.
Was so good of
she
you.
Can't feel her shoulders. It's weird.
Yeah, exactly.
She lost all feeling from here down. I don't know what happened, but
a few herniated discs.
Yeah,
it's good.
I mean, yeah, she's a trooper.
Yeah,
yeah.
She for sure. On Nevada elk hunt. She packed out. I was just trying to remember today. It was a full rear quarter bone in, and I want to say the cape as well. But yeah, we did this in one trip. Just it was all downhill, but yeah. We weighed it back at the truck, and it was over 100 pounds. I want to say it was 110, 115.
Well, that's impressive.
Yeah, as much as she weighs.
Beast mode.
Yeah, beast mode.
She makes me look bad.
Oh, she carried my I killed my muzzleloader. She had my muzzleloader, too.
Jeez, did you carry
no,
anything?
She didn't have the cape. She had the muzzleloader. That's right.
Oh.
Yeah, no. I have her.
Why would I
want to injure my back?
She's a pack mule, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
She has a 110-pound pack mule.
Yeah.
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 So, all right, so on the other side of it, you get to hunt with horses. How has that changed the game for how you've been brought up packing stuff on your back?
Oh, man. Well, my brother and I, we got into horses after quite a few years of putting constant weight on our backs, and we decided that if we're going to keep doing this, and if we want to do it when we're 70, 80 years old, if we make it that long, we'll see. But we wanted to have good backs and good knees, and I know that my knees are already going out as it is. Whenever I put weight on it, it's just brutal on me. So with horses, I can tell you right now that it makes it so much easier when all you have to do is pick up a quarter one time and strap it on a horse, and then you're gone.
Exactly. And you used horses long before you were an outfitter.
Yeah. Okay. So I got into horses about 6 years before I became an outfitter or a hunting guide. And as a hunting guide, I've had some crazy experiences with horses. But most everything's gone well. We try and minimize the crazy experiences when we have clients, and then we do all the training when we're free of clients. And tell you what, we've had a couple rodeos. But
I bet. What's your best couple hunting outfitting stories as a guide?
As a hunting guide, oh boy. I've had quite a few clients now. Some are good, some are not so good. I'll avoid the not so good stories for today. But no, I've had great days elk hunting. Like I've said, elk hunting is my favorite thing. Archery elk, and I've had days where I take a client out and hour and a half into hunting, he's tagged out. And actually, that's kind of the story behind how I got my elk this year at 8 feet. Was I got my client's bull on the first day, hour and a half of hunting, and I packed him out the next morning at 6 a.m., drove all night long, got back into my hunting spot, jumped out of the truck at 5:45 a.m., had been up for almost 24 hours, ran up the hill and shot my bull an hour and 5 minutes later and had a dead bull and 25 hours after I woke up.
That was the 340 archery bull from this year.
That was my 340 archery bull. And so, then after that, I went right back down and got back at guiding again.
Does that, like...
The guide life.
Guide life. Hashtag guide life.
Does that burn you out on hunting, being a guide? And or do you feel like that's changed your perspective? Or
so
your...
the way I look at being a hunting guide, it's every client, every day, it's a different challenge. It's what I like saying is with a hunting guide, you take a really great hunter and... You give him a new obstacle to overcome, whether it's it just depends on, like, everybody's different physical shape. Some people come out and they're not necessarily prepared for it, and that is a big thing. Is if I'm there's one thing I can tell you as a hunting guide: get in shape before you come out there. We do ride horses a lot, and I can work around a lot of things, but getting in shape is a very key thing. But like I said, we can work around it. As far as getting worn out on hunting, no. I still, every single time I have an elk in front of me, every single time I have a client shoot anything, a bear, deer, it doesn't matter. It's just as exciting. I might even get more excited than they do. I jump around, hoot and holler, especially if you're having a rough week, the weather changes bad on you, and you're out there for 3 days, and you're just begging to find an elk. You're out in just downpouring rain, 60 mile per hour wind, and you can't, as a hunting guide, you can't just say, no, we're not going today. Like, if I was hunting for myself and it's pouring rain, then I'm not going to go out there. I don't like doing that. But at the same time, as a hunting guide, these people show up, they have 7 days to get it done. So snow, rain, wind, whatever it is, you go out there, and it gets exhausting at times. You wake up at 3 a.m, set up horses, get them all ready, make sure everybody's fed, ready to go, have all the gear and everything. And then after that, you're out all day long, giving it your all, day in, day out. And a lot of times it's 3 weeks on end. You're going 21 days, getting 5 hours of sleep a night. And even in bear season, we have bear season run through until June 30th. Wow. At that point, you're getting 3 hours of sleep at night.
Long
at
days.
At the best, because it's 10 o'clock at night. You're pulling people off of baits, going back home, driving them back to the lodge an hour away, and then waking back up at 4 a.m. And right, sometimes you have to skin out a bear or take care of meat, whatever you're doing. It's being a guide. It sounds one way of being a guide. Sounds like the greatest thing. You get to hunt and get paid to hunt all day, all the
right
time.
Oh, sure.
But at the same time, it is work. It's a job, but you have to love it. And that's the thing that I remind myself every single day that I wake up. I'm in the area that I love. And what's funny is that on my days off, I get done hunting, get my clients all tagged out, and I'm still back out there every time. I'll come out of camp after 3 weeks, and I go hunting for myself.
That's good.
That's what I do. And it's about loving it. That's really what it boils down
to.
It's
the passion. I watched, my dad was a master guide in Nevada, California, a houndsman. And I mean, I watched, that sucked all the, he was, passionate like all of us, and it just sucked it out of him. Now he doesn't even hunt. I mean,
really?
Pheasant hunt every now and again. We put in for Wyoming for antelope, but I watched that business just suck the life out of him. So
yeah,
that's tough. Kudos
on you to keep that up.
That is something that I do fear, is that one day I might lose my passion for it. Mm-hmm. And when that day happens, that's when I know I've messed up somewhere along the line. But right now I don't foresee
it
happening. And that's the thing, is that I always look for a different adventure, and as a hunting guide, the number one rule as a hunting guide, and I don't know if everybody quite grasps this, but the number one rule is that with or without a kill, these people, some people are saving up their entire lives to go on these hunts. What you have to do is that you show them a great experience with or without a kill. If you can't do that, then you failed as a hunting guide. That's the number one thing I see. Your job is to entertain and make it to where people, when they come out there, it's a relaxing experience. They don't have to worry about it. They know that when they're out there with you, you are going to take care of every single need that they have. And getting the animal, whether it's a deer, elk, bear, cat, whatever it is, that's icing on the cake. So
on that note, you see a big variety of hunters from, you know, hunters that hunt every year, mm-hmm. hunters this might be there once every 2 or 3 year thing. What would you say the couple mistakes that hunters make that you see that make them not get an animal, whether it be elk, deer, whatever?
What I would say is trust your guide. A lot of times these guys, I know I've put in a lot of time into studying the area and figuring it out and figuring out how the animals move in that area in particular. And that's a big thing, is that, yeah, you may have hunted elk a lot, but the thing is that there's an intimate knowledge that a guide has about the area. They spend months out there on end, and it's true with anybody that dedicates themselves to an area. It's like, for us, it's a home ground. It's a home advantage, if you will. It's our ability to read the land. We know what the wind does on certain days, like whether the clouds are a certain way, if the wind's blowing a certain way, raining, it doesn't matter. We know that area. So trust your guide when you're out there, and listen and try and mimic them. Like when I'm walking through the woods, a big problem that I have a lot of times is I'll tell somebody to stay close to me. I'll take it super slow, keep an EV. A steady pace with them, and I tell them, like, we need to walk quiet through here, or we need to stop from time to time and look around, and we need to make as little noise as possible if we're moving through a bedding area or whatever it is. But a big thing there, like I said, is you gotta listen to your guide. They know the area. They know how the animals think in that area. And honestly, elk have a lot of similarities from one place to the next, or deer, and all, the list goes on and on with each animal, but they do have certain patterns that they follow. So pay attention to your guide. Trust him. They're out for you. That's what they're doing. I mean, when you're waking up, like I said, 3 o'clock in the morning, get horses ready. There is a passion to it. And being a hunting guide, you don't make a lot of money. That's the biggest farce there is out there. People think that you make bank being a hunting guide. And it's not the case. These guys are out here doing it because they love it. That's what it is. So,
you know, one thing with rock slide and DIY and coming from that side growing up, I was like, oh man, the guide outfitter business is the big bad wolf. But as I've gotten a little wiser with age, I guess you could say, I was lucky.
Yep.
I was born in Utah, moved to Northern Idaho. I've been surrounded by elk and deer and bear my whole life. It's in my backyard. I can just wake up, go hunting. I can wake up, go hiking. I can pretty much do everything within 30 minutes from my house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you and I are the same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So on the guide side, now lucky. I see it as, yeah, some of the, Travis, same with you. You were born in Nevada.
Yeah.
You could go hunting every year. You could just go hunting elk and deer. Well, you could go find elk and deer.
Yeah.
Your backyard was the West.
Yep.
And I see a lot of people that's not the case. And they don't live here. They live back East. So I see
that's the purpose of a guide.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't see you guys in that same light anymore.
Yep.
And I've known a lot of guides now, and I've known a lot of outfitters, and they're not bad guys. They're just trying to make a living. They're not trying to screw Joe Hunter. I mean, there might be bad cases.
Oh,
there's
for sure.
Bad cases everywhere.
Oh, yeah. In bad cases just among public hunting. Like I've had moments where things get ruined by other hunters, and sometimes on purpose. And it sucks. It's the nature of the game. But, like you're saying, it's – these guys, and that's the thing. I learned to look at it in a different light. It was like you said, these guys are coming from an area where they don't have the access that we have. We've had our entire life to get an intimate knowledge of these animals and how they think, how they move, what they look for in the woods. There's a million things. And then the other thing is that a lot of these guys, they're saving up for a long time. They've dedicated. This has been their dream. Mm-hmm. So when somebody comes out, and this is kind of a motivation to other guides that might be listening to this. When these people come out, yeah, you might be having a rough day. Yeah, you might be feeling sick. I've been sicker than a dog multiple times, but I still go out there no matter what, because this is sometimes a dream that these people have had for years, and they've been saving up, they've been dedicating their lives, and they've been, they had to beg their wives to go on these hunts a lot of times, and they finally got the green light. So whatever you do, show these guys the respect that they deserve. Show them that you're putting out everything you've got. You got, you put everything on the line for them. Use all your knowledge, and don't just give up halfway through, and don't give it 50%. You got to give it all. Give it everything you got.
So. That makes me want to like use you for a guide, Colton.
Oh yeah.
I don't do that. If I needed one,
yeah.
I guess yep. I should rephrase that.
You have one.
Well, if I needed one, I just said.
Yeah.
But I mean, you don't hear that passion and that sincerity coming from a lot of people. You just really don't. It's a business, and it's a job, and a lot of people just, they put in their time and they don't dedicate a lot of passion to it.
I love what I do, and honestly, like for me, if I dragged the hunt out for 7 days, I'd make more money as a guide.
For sure. Yeah.
But I'm about getting. I want to see results for a client. I want them to get what they're going after. That's like for me. I love to be successful out in the woods. It's a vision I have, if you will. Like I strive for 100% success every time. And you know what? It doesn't happen always. But I've also had years where I've gone 30 days out in the woods and I haven't been successful. I had everything work out for me this year when I got my bull, my personal bull. But I've had a lot of times, like I just said, where it just doesn't work out. Things go wrong. It's hunting. But you have to strive for that 100%. Nobody goes out in the woods without wanting to kill something.
Absolutely.
We wouldn't do it. We right. wouldn't do it. That's nope. that's a fact. And we would never go out in the woods if we didn't want it. And yeah. So want it as much as they want it, as your clients want it. That's for sure. So I hold on to that, and it's not about the money for me. It's about the love of it. So
well, if I wasn't picking Colton, I'd sure love to go with Travis so I could pack out all of his meat for him.
Oh,
doesn't
yeah.
that sound awesome?
Yeah. He could have a whole pack string of women at this point.
Yeah.
You're onto something, Colton. You're onto something.
But they're his dedicated.
His yeah. harem of packers.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So,
sorry, women, for that one.
Let me be more specific on what do you think as a hunter, because you've hunted a lot more than most people, are the three biggest reason people are unsuccessful as a hunter, not as a guide? Or
oh, as a hunter. As a hunter, pay attention to your wind at all times. I don't care how much scent control you have, pay attention to your wind. That's number one. You throw your wind into an entire drainage, you're done. A lot of times. Second thing, don't give up. A lot of people give up, especially with elk hunting. Archery, rutting bulls, they give up well before the animals ever start moving. 10 o'clock, I've called in more bulls at 10 o'clock in the morning all the way up till 1 o'clock than a lot of cases. It's actually amazing. And that a lot of things have actually changed for me as a hunter. Being a hunting guide, it's given me more opportunity to have more interactions with bulls on a consistent basis as versus when I had another job where I was going up whenever I could get the chance versus spending day in and day out learning these animals. So hunt all day. Don't give up just because, oh, it's 9 o'clock now. I've gotten into spots too early where it's like 9 o'clock.
Okay, oh, they're napping, I'll nap.
Yeah, exactly. So I kick back for an hour and wait for the right moment. I had a perfect case of it. We killed two bulls in one day last year where we actually called in five bulls, killed two bulls in one day. And we got to the spot too early. We were right across this canyon. It's my honey hole for guiding. And waited till 10 o'clock, let out another bugle. That bull lit right up. We ran right in on him and stuck him at 20 yards. And then that afternoon, after we got that one cut up and quartered, hanging in a tree, went after another one. Figured might as well if we're going back to camp. So,
what do you think, Travis?
Wind, obviously,
yeah.
Big one. That's huge. I mean, archery, rifle, doesn't matter. For me, too, I think a lot of people are unsuccessful because, like, we live hunting, you know, 365 days. You know, they do it for a week. You know, they draw a tag and, oh, okay, yeah, this is unit. Okay, where's my unit boundaries? You know, a week before the season.
Yep.
And they don't put the time in.
Yeah, they don't study
the time.
Yep.
For sure.
Yeah,
and that goes with not just you know, shooting, you know, mm-hmm. going a week out before the season, sighting in your rifle, that's not, you know, recipe for success.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
Yeah, training ahead of time. Yeah, that's a big thing. But yeah, like you said, studying the area, I actually, on my phone, it's actually called Topo Maps.
I have the same app.
Yeah, so
I love that thing.
What's amazing about it is that it has all the trails. It's the Topo Maps from the U.S. Mm-hmm. from the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. So you have maps and trails that a lot of people don't have on their app. besides that, no. But the main point is that, like you're saying, Travis, study the area. Yeah. Even when I'm out there, if I'm not finding a bull in the spot, if the elk aren't where they usually are, I'm studying that area while I'm out there. I look it up more, and I delve into it. I find a little nook and cranny that I didn't see before, a new bench that I didn't realize was there.
And Travis is actually really good. He'll bring up points to me that he puts in the effort, because you were talking about different property and land and going around places. Was that not you? On some of your hunts?
Yeah, Wyoming. I had to go. We had a quarter mile strip of BLM.
That was it.
It was like a mile and a half long, and then a quarter mile that you had to go up because it was all private, mm-hmm. you know. But then it all opened up into, you know, BLM.
So you had a little corridor.
So I had a corridor that we had to follow this whole time. And I mean, we were the only ones in there. Had the whole area to ourselves. It was amazing. So,
yeah, it's about studying the area for sure. Yeah, if you can find those little hidden areas, little access points that nobody else knows about, that sometimes people have to go 10, 15 miles either way to get around.
Or pay a bunch of money to get access
exactly.
private landowner.
Yep. Yeah, research is a very key aspect in today's hunting world.
And the third thing I see a lot, you know, I'll be on top of a mountain at, you know, sunlight, and I see cars driving, you know, trucks driving up.
Headlights
coming up. You know, I'm watching all these deer, and then next thing you know, all these people walking, and everything's bedded down, and they just walk on by. Yes, so knowing the species, I guess, is what I'm getting at, is, you know, whatever you're chasing, you know, hey, deer, you know, more active first half hour of sunlight. And
at dark, too.
And at dark.
That's another thing I see as a hunting guide. Yep. Some people are actually afraid of the dark.
Checking the watch.
Yeah, exactly. And they're afraid of the dark. They're, like, legitimately, they won't ride back on a horse in the dark.
Yeah.
They won't do it. So, and the thing is that I'm the guy, like I said earlier, 100%. I don't just go half the day and quit and send everybody back to camp. Mm-hmm. I spend the entire day out there, sun up to sundown. That way I know for a fact that I gave it everything. I took every moment that I had as an opportunity. Mm-hmm. So,
you know what I'll say from hunting with tons of different people over almost 30 years now, the number one tip that I would give is stay positive.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've been hunting with two people, individuals that ruined my hunt because all they did is bitch and moan about, it's too hot, it's too far, we're not seeing any animals, we're never going to kill anything.
Yeah.
Literally, I'm hungry. These are grown-ass men. I'm hungry. I want to go home. I love my wife. I love my kids. Well, I do too, but you know what? I want to kill shit.
Yep, exactly.
So staying positive.
Oh, yeah. I've had multiple times where my brother, he's even gotten negative, and he and I are the ones that push each other constantly.
Yeah, really?
He's gotten negative on me, and I'm like, no. No, we're going to keep going. We chased one mule deer for 9 miles.
Has he ever pep talked to you like that, you think? Colton, you're just too damn positive.
That's a nice way of positive. Seeing,
I don't like giving up. Like I hate giving up. I even have a thing where I'll climb up to the top of the mountain, even if I know I'm not going to get anything. I just want to see the top of the mountain. I don't really care. something to check out, something new to check out.
If you follow an Instagram with Colton, you can see that he likes what he's... It's like you can see it in his pictures. He just loves being there. You truly do.
No, you're out in the woods. You're out in nature. There's no better place in the world. And it doesn't matter where you are. It can be anywhere in the world. If you're out in the mountains enjoying that country, that's the thing. It's not about the kill. That is the biggest thing. It's not about the kill. Kills are great. But being out there, that's what it's all about.
See, I have a little different philosophy.
You have to have something, don't you?
I am not a romantic I'm not here for the scenery.
No, I am a bit of a romantic.
I am totally fine with however gets you out there.
Yep.
I want to shoot stuff. I climb hills. I'm a fat kid. I climb hills to kill stuff. I don't climb hills for my fitness. I really don't. I'm not going to lie to anybody on this podcast.
Oh, I'm not. I won't lie about that either. You can't get me to go out on a hike. I have to be doing something. I have to be going up to a lake to fly fish.
Binos on my
neck. Exactly. I have to be getting antlers. I have to be killing something. I have to be. There has to be a purpose for me being out there. I'm just hiking for the sake of hiking. That's miserable to me. It's like, where am I going?
Mm-hmm. We agree on that 100%. Yeah.
Do that.
I don't know. People. There are people out there.
This morning.
Yeah, exactly. You people this morning. What were you doing with your lives?
I just wanted to be a cool kid.
Yeah, you strap on a bunch of weight and go for a walk in Salt Lake City.
I just wanted to fit in.
They're called elevators. Gets you a lot more elevation a lot quicker.
I did on the hike say like 10 times, this sucks without going up there to shoot something.
All you missing is a bear bell, you know, hanging off.
Bear bell. Yep. I was getting me some of those yoga pants, run up
in
there.
A map.
I've seen some leggings around here. They're rather fancy, actually. There's a couple with lions on them.
Lions.
All sorts. Oh, yeah, lions.
Very nice.
Yep, African lions.
Whoa.
Yep.
That's legit.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
next level.
If you guys ever been to the expo down in Salt Lake, there's a lot of flatbills and mullets.
This place is full of flatbills.
Okay, so what is up with... Anybody know about the mullet thing?
It's vagina repellent.
Oh.
I said it. I
went there. Oh, my gosh.
If you want women to just turn around and walk the other way,
that's Tanya Avery at TanyaAvery.com.
Yep. Yeah.
Tanya at AveryAdventures.com.
Yep. No, we don't know her.
Rockslide.com.
She just showed up in the podcast. We don't really know her.
Oh. So, how is that vagina repellent?
It's gross. I don't know.
Is there a difference
silly.
Between that and a man bun?
Actually, a man bun's better, in my opinion.
Have you heard about the new trend? Women are starting to use man buns.
For what? Like
and
a
their
bro
looks.
Pad?
No, like they're starting to wear man buns, too.
That's just a bun.
I know. It's a joke.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I see what's happening.
All right, to switch gears out of that.
Anyways.
So we found out today that me, Travis, and his wife, Andrea.
The pack mule.
The pack mule. So we drew moose tags in Alaska. So we'll be heading up to Alaska in September.
She's going to be packing a lot of moose meat.
We're bringing Tanya, too, so me and Travis ain't got to do shit.
Yes.
Just grow a bullet.
That's awesome.
So you got to get a bigger pack, for the kafaros, though.
We're going to have to get them bigger packs.
Yeah. But I think the packs would probably be dragging on the ground.
Have more children to pack?
Pack mules. We need moose is a big animal.
They are. And it's not fun packing them 5 miles or whatever you've got to do.
You hunted moose in Alaska?
I haven't. My brother's actually going to be going back up there this September also. So he's going up there. He didn't draw a tag. He's just going after one of the over-the-counter units. So
would he like to help pack?
Yeah,
I think he's going to have enough fun packing his own. So
all right,
yeah, we'll see how that goes. I'm not going to be on that adventure with him. I'll be busy guiding my heart out. So
exactly. Well, I'm not going to lie. We're going to go up there and long range these suckers. There is no archery in the mix.
Don't blame you.
Not for me, anyways. I shouldn't speak for you, Travis.
I don't know. Let's see. I'm still soaking it all in.
You're gonna struggle stick it.
No.
They just found out. Like on the way to the show that they're
driving to Salt Lake, and my phone's blowing up with screenshots of me. And I just looked at him like, oh no, I didn't draw. Okay. And then I got another one, and it was hers. And I'm like, oh look, she drew a moose. And then she was looking like, oh, we both drew a moose.
And then you got thrown in. They're like, oh, Ryan drew a moose.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to thank Luke and Becca Moffa, who we did the podcast with last time, or I wouldn't have put in.
Yeah.
So they told us both where to put in. So,
hey, Luke, where should I put in? Okay, here's your application. Okay, thank you.
So the Moffitt's making it happen again. Yeah.
That's the kind of people you want in your life.
Yeah,
good people. And it's 25 tags total in this unit.
Yeah, that's incredible. You guys got three. That's amazing.
Yep. Yeah. It's going to be awesome. Time.
I think the Russians had something to do with it, like the election.
Oh, they probably hacked the
Trump,
Alaska.
Trump.
Anybody who voted for Trump.
Yeah.
Anybody voted for Trump got moose tags.
That was
Trump
the perk. Oh.
All right. Well, we're reaching our limit here, so. Colton Gibbons, where can people stalk you? Where can they find you?
Well, if you want to find me at Idaho Guide, that's on Instagram or Facebook, either or. And then also you can follow Hell's Canyon Outfitters and Lockey U Outfitters. That's Lockey, the letter U, Outfitters. We have multiple areas. We're working on pushing towards being the biggest outfitter in Idaho is what we're aiming for. So, and we're slowly
central,
chipping away.
Central
yep,
Idaho.
Central Idaho. We're around Grangeville, Riggins, and McCall. And we're expanding, and we're giving it our all. We're putting our heart and soul into having the best operation we can. And in Idaho, that's what our goal is.
What was your success rate this year?
75% on elk.
Wow.
Archery and rifle both. So cool. We got a lot of animals.
And what's the URL? What's the website to that?
HellsCanyon.com. HellsCanyonOutfitters.com, sorry. And also LockyU Outfitters. Actually, no, it's just LockyU.com on that one. Got them backwards. So LockyU.com and HellsCanyonOutfitters.com.
All right, Travis, and where can people stalk you outside of Rock Slide and Travis Bertrand?
That's it. Rock Slide, Travis Bertrand, and Instagram and Facebook on both. That's
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
All right, I appreciate you guys coming on.
Yeah, absolutely, Ryan. Thanks. Thank you for having us.
All right. Talk to you guys later. Thanks.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We keep getting asked how you can get a hold of us. You can find us at AveryAdventures.com. You can find us on Instagram at Avery_Adventures, on Facebook at Avery Adventures. We'd really like you to subscribe to our YouTube channel at Avery Adventures. Email, you can find me at Ryan@AveryAdventures.com, and you can find Tanya at TheAveryAdventures@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to the show. We really appreciate it.